Good morning. We've been changing it up a little bit in service with having the other elders to bring you what's going on through the week. And I feel like I'm not talking as much now. Maybe that's a good thing. So if you have your Bibles, Colossians is where we're going to be. And we're going to be here next week, too, in the same verse, maybe moving to verse 16. But we're going to talk about many other verses today. I was looking up top to see if my daughter was still up there. It is her birthday today. She turned 16, so what a blessing she is. We'll give you a clap. I know we didn't give a clap for Gary last week. His was last Sunday, I believe. But he turned 78. No, he didn't. One day he'll be that age. So I'm going to give you a little PowerPoint on the back here too. Interpersonal relationships. Oh, it is already there. Oh, there we go. So, last week we left off with this idea in your minds. I know I gave you a few different pieces to take as well last week for yourselves, which was one was to cultivate a vertical relationship with God. The second one was practice love and forgiveness. Seek peace in relationships was the third. Let the peace of Christ rule. Focus on unity was the next one. And then live out your faith was another one. And reflect and grow. Those are a few points that was for us to think about. And if you didn't write them all down, like I said last week, and I know I did copy some, if you need to have those to think about for yourselves, your own minds, I can get those for you. But before we do, I want to read through Colossians 3 again. Not all of it, but close to. So if you'd flip with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And I want to bring us back to this again because I think it will give good light for us as we go into interpersonal relationships. So let's read together. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I didn't present that up in the PowerPoint, so you're going to have to use your Bibles for this. So if you have your Bibles, open up with me to that, Colossians 3, 1. And let's start. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also will appear with him in glory. But to death, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. I don't know if you remember, but in verse 10, that renewed in there, I know there's a little bit, some things might be different in some of the translations, but the renewed is change. So you are changed is what is happening there in the knowledge of Christ and should have happened when you come to Christ, if you've come to Christ. So verse 11, here there is not Greek, Jew, circumcised and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And the verse that we're going to move on to today a little bit more. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Just on verse 17, do you truly, just think about this for yourself, a question. Do you do everything in word and deed to the glory of Christ? Or to his name? Or do you do it to man? Just a question for yourself. I'm sure you've asked yourself many times or gone through it. But who do you do what you do for? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that we can pray and that we can trust you to what you have instilled in our lives. I just thank you for each of us that are here. And I know that there are some that are sick and have been sick and as we were reminded too, with those who are going for operations, Wayne with his operation, and just that there's concerns and not wanting to get sick, and those are weights that come upon us. I've been there. I've been in those places, and it's hard. It's difficult, and I just thank you that you call us to glory. And an eternal home that is above all of these worries in this world. And these faint moments that are here. And it seems like it's forever at times, but it's only but a moment for the eternity that will be with you. So I just ask, as we study through different scriptures and different thoughts and different takes to bring about how we are to be unified in the body, that we would trust and depend on you for strength, and again, for anyone else that is not here, for any other reason, that you would bless them spiritually as they are not with us. And I just thank you for the encouraging word as well, Father, from Ray, just and how he was blessed, and him and Donna were blessed just with being sick for a moment of time, or still. And I just thank you that the church is your body. Yes. Just open our ears and our hearts and our minds as we study through these scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, interpersonal relationships. I did have a few of them, but we're not going to go through them all. So, and I love this in the 1 Corinthians, in Colossians 3, at the very beginning, the word if that we went through. If we are close to our Savior, then we are proving the fact that we are striving to know him. It is within us that it is happening. So it's that vertical, as I talked about last week, that vertical relationship that then should sprout out to be a horizontal. So that should be the retrospect, is that there's a horizontal view that will happen to encompass and bring about interpersonal relationships. We should form our relationships from our vertical understanding of what we have been called into. If you remember last week too, I said, which I'll get into later too, but we have been called into unity. Just this is up from verse 15 here. We've been called into unity. And just that alone is a huge, massive place to understand and grasp in Scripture, and the Scriptures that go along with it are a lot. So this doesn't mean that we'll be perfect, though. We're not. And I know that we can say that too and cop out at times and say, not everyone's perfect. I don't need to be perfect, and I messed up. I'm not perfect. That's true. We're not. So don't beat yourself up too hard when your relationships don't always go perfect. But know that God wants to bring about his glory with you. So peace was the other thing. If you remember, I think I said this last week, but it was from Warren Wiersbe. And he was talking off verse 15 of Colossians chapter 3. And he said, if we have peace in our hearts, we will be at peace with others in the church. Does everyone agree with that? So he says as well, we are called to one body, and our relationship in that body must be one of harmony and peace. Hopefully you agree with that. It's true. If we are out of the will of God, we are certain to bring discord and disharmony to the church. And then he brought in Jonah, thought he was at peace, when actually his sins created a storm. There's a few things in there. I've thought about it and read that a few times. And if we have peace in our hearts, we will be at peace with others in the church. The church is the body. Not just Creston Baptist Church, the body. I think sometimes we don't always think outside, or we forget about the outside and other congregations that go on all around the world. There are many of them. And we will be in heaven together. If they are saved, we will be in heaven together. We don't have everything in our foundations perfectly set up and our doctrines perfectly set in place that we are the only congregation in the world. There are many other congregations, so we need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, not only here, but outside of here. And that takes effort and a lot of ability from the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit to work. Neve's new Bible on the back, it had the fruits of the Spirit, so I was thinking about that this morning. So I just want to add with Jonah. I'm sure you've all read Jonah. I know I've done a Bible study, done other studies through Jonah. And it's quite profound, the book of Jonah. Jonah was a bitter man. He thought that he was the one that chose who should find out about the gospel. This is ultimately what was happening throughout that. There's a lot of other things that go on. But he thought that he was the one that could present or not present the gospel. And God said, I have chosen you to present the gospel. You present the gospel. And Jonah said, no, I'm going the other direction. I'm getting out of here. I'm getting out of Dodge. So it created a storm. It created no peace within the people upon a boat. They were not believers in Christ. But at the same time, the gospel was able to be shared with them, with Jonah there with them, because of the situation. But the boat was being shaken. The storm was coming, hitting the boat, right? All this is going on. So not just Jonah was not at peace. Not only was Jonah not at peace, but those others got brought into his not at peace with God. So with that, we must contemplate and think about our interpersonal relationships and how they're going. So Jonah was not at peace with God, and we need to make sure that we are at peace with God as well. So maybe you wonder sometimes if you're at peace with God. Well, that happens, and we should. And we should check ourselves. We should check to see whether we are in the faith as well. But if we've made a habit of if we haven't made a habit of changing our own ways or our old ways, but have made a habit of trying to change, let me say that again. If we've made a habit of not changing our ways or old ways, but we've made a habit of trying to change other people's ways, then we've put in place a bad habit. And in order to destroy a bad habit, we first of all need to do what we talked about with putting off. We need to put it aside, but then we need to put on something new, new habits in place. So then when we do that, we're going to understand that we're starting to walk in the peace of God because we're trying to get rid of the old self, which is actually the work of the Spirit happening within us to do so. But as well, there should be then peace with God as we grow closer to God to know what to put on. Because it's the scriptures that tell us what to put on and what to put off. So trust God because he wants to have you at peace with him, first of all. And then in return, there will be peace with brothers and sisters in Christ. I just want to say again that it doesn't mean that it's going to run perfectly. It's not. But if you're striving after God, God will do an amazing work on you. Amen. And your calling is now. It's right at this moment, at every moment of every day, at every hour, you've been called into something, and that is into the glory of God, first of all, through Christ. But as well, your calling is whatever place that you're in. You may be having hard times and jobs and all those kinds of things, but that is where the Lord wants you at this time. If he wants you to move on, you'll have the direction of that. But if you're in a position right now at this moment, you need to learn from the Lord what he wants for you. And interpersonal relationships will come about because of that. Because they're there. Relationships are always there. Or not there, one or the other. So, are you seeking after the Lord? Maybe that was a bad joke, or not there. So, do you remember that, as I said earlier, I brought this up already, but do you remember when I said that we're called into one body from Colossians 3:15, where I'm going to read the verse again, and it said, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." And last week, I said the ruling of Christ in our hearts is for peace. And that's true, and that's there, but this verse itself isn't bringing out our peace in our soul with God as much as it's bringing out the functionality of what we were called into and who we've been called into. We have been called into the body of believers. That is our calling, into the body of believers. That's for us. So if we've been called into the body of believers, then now we're going to have conversations. I mean, we're all sitting next to someone. I'm speaking to you all. We talk after service, and we talk throughout the weeks. And we're going to get into sometimes heavy topics. Sometimes we just need an encouragement from someone, and we long for it. And we should. So, this is why I believe interpersonal relationships are something we should be building. And it should be an underlying role that is being facilitated within us again. I'm going to say the word. Interpersonal relationships are a connection, an interaction we have with others. This will involve family, friends, family members, other family members of other families, colleagues, acquaintances, or specifically as well, not specifically, but or the body of Christ. These relationships are pivotal and a pivotal part of our everyday lives. If we are providing support and being given support, then we will be including a sense of purpose through companionship in our own lives and those we are involved in on a daily basis. Ephesians 2:14 to 16. I'm just going to read this one to you. Please listen to it, because we're going to go through many other scriptures today, so get your fingers warmed up, whatever you got to do that. But Ephesians 2:14 to 16 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility," I know Jew and Greek is being spoken about here, "by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility." We are brought into peace through Christ, and we are one body, not just here in this gathering and in this brethren, but the body of Christ, all believers. We are brought into one body, and I know that within this there's peace going on to bring peace between Jew and Greek, all that stuff laid out there too, and there's a lot more there, but it's that we are brought into something magnificent. And something from the beginning of time that was set in place to happen did happen 2,000 years ago already with Christ. And that hostility, that brokenness that was there because of sin has been brought back when we believe in Christ and have been made new in Christ. So unity starts at the heart of each individual saved by grace. If you have been raised with Christ, as I just said, then the Spirit is doing a work. And he is unifying interpersonal relationships. So, my PowerPoint. Ooh. No, I'll leave it here. Communication. Who likes communication? Two people? Right on. Oh, three? Anyone else? No? Oh, okay, four. There we go. Does anyone else like communication? No. Oh, they might have six or seven. Okay. We should think about and go through this one then. Communication. I'll leave that up there as we go through this. You can look back and forth at it. Effective communication is the cornerstone of any robust relationship. It encompasses active listening, clear articulation of thoughts and feelings, and openness to feedback. Let me say a little bit more. Open and honest communication is the foundation of any strong relationship. It involves active listening. Listening is a hard thing. Expressing thoughts and feeling clearly, maybe for some it's not. Expressing thoughts and feeling and feelings clearly and being receptive to feedback. There we go. Active listening, another way to look at it, is truly hearing what the other person is saying without interrupting or planning your response while they're talking. Who's passed the test on every conversation they've been in to not have a answer when someone's speaking, or to want to interrupt or want to respond to what someone has to say? I think we've all slipped up on this one and been waiting to say something as we're in a conversation. It's almost like your hand is up and you're like, oh, but I'm just going to say it. This is a hard one. Communication is a tricky one. But at the same time, once you figure it out, not so much. I want to stop you though. This is not for you to point out at someone else. It's not for you to point at someone else when we're going through this, because I know in everyone's mind, because of the flesh, it is still there. It goes, bing, oh, I was thinking of Bob or whoever. Or, I don't know. Whoever you're thinking of. I'm not going to say any other names than that because I didn't know if anyone was here, Bob, today, but I'm just going to go with that one. But because someone might go, oh, Pastor Matt is thinking, oh, yeah, now I know who he's thinking about whenever. No. So, don't think of someone else. Ephesians 4:29, if you would flip with me there. You can leave your finger in Colossians or let it go, whatever works for you. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. When you think about communication and then you see this scripture smack you in the face or right in your eyeballs, it's right there, and you go, is my communication good? Well, okay, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. So check yourself with this. Is there corrupting talk coming out of your mouth? Do you sit with others and say a negative thing about someone else? Are you saying negative things when you're with someone, when you're in conversation with somebody? Or are you building them up, trying to build, not sand, but build rock? Build on rock, I should say, on the cornerstone, who was Peter, but on Christ. Are we building on good foundation? Because it should fit the occasion. We should speak in such a way that it is good for the occasion. I know the NIV says it this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that... I can't even speak right now, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I know Rachel often says, she says, when I leave someone, I want to leave them better than when I come. Do we do that? And this isn't to judge you and to weight you down and to think, oh, you failed in every area, now you're just a failure. That's not what it is. We are not really failing if we're seeking after the Lord and having the peace of God and looking for the peace of God and looking to know his will. We've won because we have Christ. So James 1:19 is another one, which James was brought up earlier. I think it was chapter 4 from Esther. But James, if you flip with me there, James 1:19. And here we have James, and he addresses them, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, James 1:19. Now, this, my beloved brothers and sisters as well, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I don't know how many times I've said that verse in my own mind or said it to myself when I'm going through situations and I have it running through my head and I'm going, okay, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. You know, the other day I had my anger aroused, or I let it go, and I had to apologize to those involved. So are you checking yourself? Are you being careful in how you respond to people? Another one is Colossians 4:16. Let's flip there together. No, sorry, not 16, 6. Let's flip back. Where are we? My mind left me. I couldn't figure where I was going. Colossians 4:6. Close to where we were. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. I know there's more context to this, but I just want to bring this from the concept of communication, our communicating with one another. Another one is Proverbs. Good sayings, good words we have in Proverbs, don't we? Let's get there together. Proverbs, if you'd flip with me. 18, verse 21. Chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Let me use it from the NIV as well. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Remember I talked about the Pharisees before a few times and how the Pharisees could look like beautiful, lovely trees with beautiful leaves, but inwardly there was death. So us too must not be like a Pharisee. We must not say one thing and then do another thing with our mouths. We must speak truth so that others can partake of the fruit that we have. So Matthew 12:36 to 37, if you flip there as well. Matthew 12:36 to 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account of every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I know Jesus was often talking, as I just brought up, the Pharisees to them and strictly correcting them. But I think overall we can take this to ourselves to apply that we are covered by Christ, yes. And when we stand before God, we will stand in the glory of God, and we will be then in his presence for all time and stand before, and the reason we can stand before God is because we've been covered by Christ, but we will then be in heavenly bodies when we are with him. So this isn't to take us down less than, but for us to have a reminder of, if we're not going to have words of good, true, wholesome things to say about people, then we're going to have to take the judgment that comes. If we're not going to follow the ways of God that are righteous, then we're going to have to take the consequences. This is the negative consequence that can come to us when we don't watch how we speak about people or let our thoughts go. I mean, I don't know how many times I've let my thoughts go and I go, whoa, hold on a second. And I got to take control and go, what am I doing? Why am I even thinking about that person in such a way? Like, what gives me the right to think in that way about someone? So same thing can happen with other thoughts. So Proverbs, again, I'm going to flip you back to chapter 16, verse 24. So we need good communication. Proverbs 16, 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Has anyone ever eaten a honeycomb? They're pretty yummy. Just think about the honeycomb right now. Not the wax part after, but the first part. When you're chewing on that honeycomb, it is sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You know the nutrition that's going to come later on. It is good for you. That's what our words are to be. Words are to be like a honeycomb. I don't know about you, but my words are not always like a honeycomb. I'm sure we got lots of stories where our words were not a honeycomb, but instead they were like the bees that were attacking, trying to protect the honeycomb. So let it be goodness and sweetness to our bones, giving strength to us. Proverbs 25:11, since we're there. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. We're not going to dig fully into that scripture, but I think we get the point. Our words are to be something beautiful. So, this is why it is always important to read the Word of God repeatedly, because we get these reminders. You're going to get them in Exodus. I was reading through Exodus this morning. I don't know, it just overwhelmed me. I felt very overwhelmed, and I was going through the law that was brought to the people, and how good it was that God presented and what He presented to them. And I was listening and reading and following. I had my app playing, but I was following my Bible along with it. I was pausing it, and I probably should just read it. But I don't want to go here forever, but I just want to point out something here in Exodus. If you don't flip there, that's okay. But the covenant in Exodus 24. If you want to read this today on your own when you go home, feel free. But I started looking and listening, reading, and thinking about everything that was going on with the elders in this situation. But then just before this, the conquest of Canaan had happened. And Joshua and how he was appointed by Moses to go forward. And how God was on Mount Sinai. And He dwelt with them in the cloud. Moses goes up on the cloud. We know Moses later goes for 40 days, 40 nights. But before that, they sat with Moses, the rest of the elders, and they ate. The same thing happening earlier on with Moses, with his father-in-law. I'm getting to a point here. He sat with his father-in-law and ate, and so did the elders as well when Moses' father-in-law come along. But God was with them. God did give heavy words to them to hold to. But they were good and they were right. So in our communication, sometimes we may have to say heavy things. This isn't to be that we're all butterflies and I don't know, whatever the other word example you make, butterflies and something. But it isn't going to be that it's always beautiful things that come out of our mouth, but it doesn't mean that we should speak harsh, negative things. Because when we speak truth, some people think that they're not beautiful things, but they are beautiful things because truth is beautiful things. And when God gave the law, it was a beautiful thing. And it was right, but man went against it because of the flesh. And this is the whole point of why Christ had to come. So in our communication, when we're communicating with our brothers and sisters, first of all, let's bring it home to there. We need to watch how we're speaking so that it's not just to condemn them or to think that you're better than or to think that I know the right way, just like the log and the speck and the eye. We first need to deal with ourselves, and then we can go and help our brother and sister in Christ if they are caught in sin. But we need to make sure that we're going with the Spirit of God and not the flesh of man. That is one of the hardest things, I believe, to learn to decipher. But I do believe that as you grow in maturity, that you will be able to decipher, is this the Spirit of God or is this Satan tempting me right now to go and speak to my brother and sister in Christ? Or is it the Spirit of God to go and tell them that they are caught in sin? But it doesn't mean that you're just going to go, you're caught in sin, you need to quit. But it's to come to them with grace and truth. So, God brought the law to us, or brought the law to his people, and his people still rejected him. Let us not reject God. But there is always a remnant. There's always a remnant of Israel. They're not done. So Scripture highlights the power and the importance of our words in administering kindness and wisdom and grace. Look up the definitions if you want for wisdom and kindness and grace today. You'll see much. True wisdom is not built through our intellectual minds, but on the basis of God's own word. God's word is wisdom, and it comes from above. Again, James, right? Comes down from above. And that wisdom that you're going to get has to come from here because you need to study your word in order to understand what wisdom is and to get wisdom. It's a fact. Don't neglect this. If you do, my question is, how much peace do you have with God? Don't neglect the scriptures. And I know many of you read them. Keep reading them. I feel really excited right now because I'm like days ahead because I did a yearly app now. So I'm like way ahead. So I'm like, woo, I'm flying. But last time I was feeling really behind because I did the 90 day and I didn't do it right. Another story. So our communication here. So from communication, we'll go a little more here. From our communication, listening was something else I brought up. And when we listen, one of the greatest and most important aspects of a teacher is the ability to be a listener of God and a listener of people. And I personally believe that if a teacher doesn't listen, then everything else you do really becomes nil. That's my opinion, but I'm going to hold to it. Because if you don't want to listen to what others are saying or ever hear what other people have to say, you're just a very loud, or I don't know, loud, but you're just a very talkative person. It doesn't mean that when being a listener, it doesn't mean that you let go of truth. It doesn't mean that you let go of your thoughts or opinions or understandings you've come to or grasped. It doesn't mean that doctrines are taken away, myself as a teacher, because I listen to people. And again, I'm not perfect. So you can know all things as a teacher, but if you don't have love, right? If you don't have love, it's all nothing. You can give all your money, do all that, but without love, you have nothing. And we can't get love by doing something nice to people. It is a love that is given from the Spirit to us. So trust God, depend on Him, and He'll guide your ways. So James 1:19 is another one. I don't know. Did we read that James 1:19 earlier? I think we did. We won't go to that one. Skip that one. Proverbs 18:13. I'm just going to read it to you. In the NIV. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. I don't know, but when I think about listening, I think about communication, I think about within communication is listening. And then Proverbs 18:13 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and that is shame. I added a little bit there. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Think about yourself as we go through this. I want to remind you again. Think about yourself. Proverbs 19:20. Let's flip there. You might already be there. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. So listen. This is not saying that we do whatever every person brings to us. That's not what this is saying, because a lot of people can have opinions. We all know a lot of people got opinions, don't we? We all know people can speak their mind. They got thoughts. Some people might come in here, right? For example, just heat-wise in the morning or the lights, right? Like there's just the fact of things that go on that we all have different things that we like or don't like, or smells. Some of us deal with smells and they really affect our nostrils or give us headaches because of smells. Like we all have different things just gathering together that affect us differently, but we need to be careful on how we deal with those things ourselves and how we care for others. So Ecclesiastes 5:1, just because of time, I'm going to read some of these to you. Ecclesiastes 5:1, write them down. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. So when you come before God, are you coming speaking and spewing off things, or are you coming listening? You come here this morning, are you listening? Or are you coming here because I got lots of thoughts? That's okay, you can come here with thoughts, you should. But is it to respond with something, or is it to listen? And I think about that with today, with bringing this message to you. This message to you today is to listen to it, to hear it, to not feel weighted, but then to take the words of the scriptures and apply them to your life. So that's Ecclesiastes 5:1 that I just read from. That was in the NIV. The ESV says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. More interesting words for us, I find. Since we're still in Proverbs 1:5. Remember who wrote Proverbs 2 as we go through this. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. You know what? I'm not even going to worry about getting to the other stuff that we have. We're still a little ways away. I'm just going to slow it down. So Proverbs 1 5. Just let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. Pretty simple. Isaiah 55:3. Who loves Isaiah? Who finds Isaiah hard? Anyone? Isaiah can be. One of the best things that I was ever taught from my teacher, my professor at school, he said, read through Isaiah really fast. But at the same time, you can still go slower, but it does help. When you're reading through it, or the first time reading through it, read, don't get caught up, because there's a lot of information and history going on in Isaiah, and future. Second coming, first coming, everything's happening in Isaiah. Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast love, my steadfast, sure love for David. Incline your ear, right? God himself bends low to hear us. We should incline our ear, listen to him. If you got to do this to hear from him, whatever you got to do, figure out a way to hear from God? First of all, we know reading the Word. So we hear from God.